My lovely wife, Marianne Roberts, is not here this morning. I was in Birmingham yesterday for most of the day for some soccer. And then she met me coming up from some soccer here on 280, and I gave her the girls. I came home. She stayed up for more soccer this afternoon. But my lovely wife is sure of one thing about me. Well, she's sure of lots of things about me. But one thing she is sure of is that I suffer from adult attention deficit disorder. And I am always refusing that that's the case. I've never gone to get checked out or however even determine if you have it or not. I don't know. She's convinced of it. And some of you in the audience here who laughed have joined in on that and given her your approval that she's right about that. I will say this. I'm grateful for the opportunity this morning, even though it's under these difficult circumstances with Ryan and Jennifer being away from us. But I sort of always have something that I want to talk about. Those of you who know me, that's not a shock to you. I apologize to Mark. There he is sitting over there. I needed some conversation Wednesday night in a bad way. And Mark, I'm sorry, buddy, just fell on your shoulders. And we talked aviation for an extended period of time. I'm sure that his lovely wife was ready for him to go. I know mine was ready for me to go. But I needed that, so thank you for being a shoulder to cry on, I guess is what I would call that. But I had a lesson in mind. I've always got something I want to talk about, and I had a lesson in mind for today, if I should have this opportunity. Let's face it, we've got Ryan, we've had Larry, we've had plenty of preaching. We don't have a shortage of that. We've got a preacher in the making in Caleb who relishes the opportunity to stand before us, and I always look forward to hearing his lessons. He does such a wonderful job presenting the gospel to us. There's just not that many opportunities for the rest of us that enjoy doing this to do it. So I was grateful for Stacy when he reached out to me and asked if I would like to do it. He probably already knew the answer before he even asked. But I had this idea that I was going to share with you 5 verses of encouragement. You know how we do our top 5. It could have been, with God's word, it could have been the top 100. But I had my mind, I'm going to do the top 5 verses. And then for whatever reason, here's where this 80 whatever kicks in. I just kept having this thought pop into my head over the last couple of days. And that thought was, what manner of people ought you to be? That, for whatever reason, I don't know where that came from, it just kept coming up. And I'll be honest with you, I think where it comes from, the place it comes from is, I am so tired of this political season. And I know you are. And I know everyone is. I am tired of the ads on TV. I'm tired of the Facebook post. I'm tired of the candidates. Doug Jones, Tommy Tuberville, Pelosi, McConnell, Biden, Trump. I'm tired of all of it. And I got to thinking about how just angry and how the world is just eating themselves up with all of this. You know, doom is coming. Trump is reelected. Doom is coming if Biden gets elected. What I keep reminding myself is God is in control. And so rather than share with you some verses of encouragement, anybody wants to know what those 5 verses are, see me afterwards. I've got them with me this morning. I thought I might even fall back to it. But instead, this morning, I have chosen to talk to you about how to make sure you're ready for November 3rd. And that is, I'm not trying to give you political advice. I'm just trying to encourage you to think about how you go about conducting yourself in the weeks that lead up to the election, and even perhaps more importantly, how we handle things after the election. I appreciate so much Brad's choice of songs this morning. We are redeemed people. We know what that means. We are redeemed. We are a different people now. We are not the people of this world. And so as redeemed people, we need to act like redeemed people. And in Christ alone, can we sing that song with confidence? Is that truly, does that describe who we are? I've got some challenging verses for this morning. Unfortunately, we went from 5 verses to 8 verses. I apologize. Could have went 5, but I like all 8 of these verses and could not go away from them. So we're going to start in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. And we put a big plug in for our Bible class teachers too. Folks, these are difficult circumstances to ask you to conduct Bible studies and practice social distancing and do all the safety protocols that we're trying to do to keep each other safe. We understand that. We want you to know how much we appreciate your efforts in helping us get back to some sense of normalcy with our classes. For you guys that are here in the adult classroom, really appreciate the efforts both by Matt and by Ashley. Such timely topics in the 2 studies that we have going on there. And again, I know how difficult it is, although I think in some ways, since I'm in both those classes, that different format challenges my opportunities to speak up, so that may be good for you two teachers. Let's look at 2 Peter. In all eight of these verses that I'm going to share with you this morning, we're going to go through them very quickly. Really, all I want to do is ask you a question after each of them. And it's going to challenge you to think about, you know, does this describe me? Am I living to this? Because it's going to be important as we approach the election and as we go on living our life well beyond this election, many elections to come. So 2 Peter chapter 3, we'll read verses 10 through 18. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless, and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. From this passage is where this thought came from, this idea back in verse 11. What sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? I'm so glad that God, inspiring this to be recorded for us, added on to that. He didn't just leave us with an open-ended question to say, what manner of people ought you to be? And leave us to go, well, what manner of people ought we to be? No, clearly he tells us in this verse that we are to conduct ourselves in a holy way and we are to be godly. And I ask you that question this morning. You know, what sort of person are you and ought you to be? And again, the way this question is asked, it follows on what's going to happen. What's the end of it all? And so it's interesting that we find ourselves realizing, hey, we all know how this is going to end. And then the question that we're confronted with is, well, what sort of people ought we to be? And so we need to think about that. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5, our second passage. Matthew chapter 5, and it begins in verse 13. And we will read Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. Hear the words of Jesus, and we read in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." This verse 16, let your light shine before men. Does that describe you and I? Is that how we're living our lives as we approach this election, as we're confronted with folks want to get into these discussions and debates about what's going to happen and who's the right candidate? Are we letting our light shine through that, or are we falling back and being like the world? We have to answer that question. Philippians chapter 3 for our third passage. Philippians chapter 3. And in Philippians chapter 3, we're looking at beginning of verse 7. The words of Paul here. So Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude, and if anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk in according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. And here it is in verse 20. For you, our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. And we read this verse, for our citizenship is in heaven. But do we really live that way? Or do we live like our citizenship is here in the United States of America? Which plenty of us proudly acknowledge that we're glad of that. We're grateful for God's blessings in that, for the tremendous blessings that this country has enjoyed, the success, the opportunities. But is that really what our focus is on, is being citizens of this country? And if it is, then yeah, all our focus should be on the election and this and that. And let me stop and say right now, I want to be clear in what I'm saying in all of this. I'm not anti-political. I'm not saying as Christians we don't really shouldn't be involved in this at all. I'm all for us exercising the rights that we have as citizens of this country to elect those who we think best represent our values, our beliefs, what we want for this great country of ours. I'm all for that. I'm just cautioning all of us, and I'm cautioning myself, to be careful about placing too much emphasis on those matters and those things that are going on, because at the end, it's really not going to matter at all. And so you have to answer that question for yourself. Are you focusing yourself on being a citizen for heaven and being ready to be in heaven? And then over in Philippians chapter 4, we'll pick up Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. Love these verses. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. This idea of dwelling on these things, let's face it, we find ourselves dwelling on all kinds of things right now. The COVID crisis, the struggles in our own lives, whatever they happen to be, whether it's physical health, the health of our loved ones, finances, our jobs, our relationships, there's so many things for us to dwell on. But these passages really tell us where we should put our focus. And the question I would ask you is, where are you dwelling? Where are you allowing your thoughts to dwell right now? Is it in those Facebook posts? Is it in watching Fox News or this or that and all the just turmoil that is going on around us? Clearly, these verses instruct us where our focus should be and obviously tell us to be anxious for nothing. Our next passage is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we begin in verse 9. And we'll read through verse 11. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. And we're going to turn to another verse in a second that ties right into this. But this idea is, for such were some of you. I think that goes hand in hand with the original passage about what manner of folks ought we ought to be. Well, we certainly know from this passage who we used to be. And there's this list, and this isn't the only list of offenses and sin that we would find ourselves entangled in. It's a part of a list, a partial list. But we're confronted here with this notion of such were some of you. And the question we have to ask ourselves, is that described of us? That's who we were? Or does it still describe who we are now? Galatians chapter 5. This is sort of the companion verse of that. So Galatians chapter 5 in verse 14. Appreciate you guys being patient and turning these passages with me this morning. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. And I love this idea, if you are led by the Spirit. Verse 20 gives us this idea of what these deeds of the flesh are. You know, we look through that list and some of them we go really quickly, well, I'm not involved in sorcery. I'm not really a jealous person. I'm not sure that I'm involved in impurity or sensuality or idolatry. But then we get to a list that says enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions. Brothers and sisters, that's the world we live in right now. And it's never, in my estimation, it's never been as bad as it is right now of that sort of thing. And if we're not careful, we get dragged right back into that sort of behavior. We start conforming to this world rather than being transformed people. Two verses left to go. Romans chapter 13 is the seventh. Romans chapter 13, beginning of verse 8. Romans 13, beginning in verse 8. We'll read through the end of the chapter. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Do this knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near, therefore let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. And simply here, I would call your attention to this notion of putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we all know what that entails, what that involves. We know what it looks like. And we know really quickly, if we do a self-examination, does that describe us? Are we putting on our Lord Jesus Christ each and every day? And then, as I said, our eighth passage this morning, Ephesians chapter 4. This will be our final passage. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll begin at verse 17. Ephesians 4, beginning of verse 17. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is the likeness of God, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer. Rather, he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And then we'll continue through to the first two verses of chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. And for this final passage, the eighth passage this morning, I would turn your attention to this notion of chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God. Does that describe you and I? Can we truly say that we are imitating God? We realize what sort of high standard that is, but that's the standard that he's called us to. In each of these verses, we're challenged to recognize that there's things that are going on in the world that people are involved in and the way they're conducting themselves. And we're challenged with the notion is, that can't be us. It can't be us. As much as sometimes we're drawn into it, as much as sometimes some of us are just spoiling for a fight, spoiling for a good argument, this can't describe us. And the reason it can't is because if we're truly going to be the lights of this world, we're going to be the people of God, the children of God, and the world's going to look at us and they're going to go, you are so very different from anybody else. You're so very different. Or do they look at us and go, you're just like my neighbor on the other side, or the guy that I work with, the person that I go to school with. You're really no different at all. I see you getting caught up in this and these posts and social media this and tweeting this. You're really no different than anybody else in the world. But we're called to be imitators of God. In each of these verses that we read this morning, we're challenged to think about how we conduct ourselves in this world in which we live. Now, we've got an election coming. November 3rd is going to happen. I encourage all of you to be a part of that process, to go out and let your vote count, let you speak for what your beliefs are, and some of you may elect not to. That's your right as well. But what I would encourage all of us to do is take a hard look at ourselves right now during this season of just turmoil, this season of anger and bitterness, and just think about who we really are. And if we really want to make a difference in this world, if we really want people to look at us, and again, this notion of us being different isn't just so we can go, hey, look how different I am. It's this difference is designed so that people realize we're not like everybody else. And it's not because we think we're somebody. If you're visiting with us this morning, we'll tell you really quickly, we're a bunch of imperfect people sitting in this building. We recognize that. But every day we work and we fight to try to be better and to get rid of some of those imperfections, to be imitators of God. So those are my thoughts for you this morning. I'd like for you to consider these as we have these final few days leading up to the election. And as I said, more importantly, what happens after the election? You know, it's either going to go the way perhaps we think it's going to go and perhaps the way we want it to go, or it's not. And I've heard Brian and I've heard Larry and I've heard others stand before us and proudly proclaim at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. Because we know who controls all things. Anybody that's in power, anybody that's ever been in power, anybody that ever will be in power, only exists in power because God allows it. But we are his special people, his chosen people. He's asked us to imitate him. And by imitating him and letting our light shine, letting others see that we are like Jesus, and we look to him, we look for his example in how we conduct ourselves, we have a tremendous opportunity to influence this world, especially at a time like this. Someone's trying to draw you in something, and you won't take that bait, and you remain calm, and people recognize there's a difference about that. Let's be those different people that God's word calls us to be. Thank you for being patient this morning. So grateful for everyone's presence. You know, we extend an invitation at a time like this, really, because we want someone that's in the audience who's joined us. Maybe you've walked in off the street, you've never been here before. Maybe you're somebody that's been here for quite a while, and you've come to the realization of what you need to do to become a Christian. As I said earlier, we recognize we're imperfect people, and it's because of that imperfection, it's because that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God that we need God, and he made a way of escape possible for us. He sent his son to die for us. By doing that, he allows us. In his word, he instructs us in how we are to put off this old self and put on the new man. You have an opportunity to do that this morning if you would like. If you're not a Christian and you'd like to come forward and confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that he died for your sins, we would be very happy to baptize you for the forgiveness of your sins. Be happy to talk to you more, study with you, help you as you begin your journey and your walk as a new Christian. We'd love to be able to do that this morning. If you're in the audience this morning and you're struggling with some of the things that we talked about in these eight passages, you find yourself caught up in this world and it's got a hold of you, and you find yourself that you're angry all the time, or you're bitter, or you find yourself in disputes, recognize that's not who God has called you to be. Whatever it is, let's face it, we are all tempted in different ways and we yield to those temptations. Sometimes they take us, anytime we yield to them, it pulls us away from God. If you find yourself here in our presence this morning and you realize you're separated from God, that's not a condition that you want to remain in. You don't want to leave this building in that way. And you'll look around this room and you'll realize that while you may be nervous to come forward and confess whatever it is that you perhaps publicly need to confess, recognize that all of us have sinned. We've all fallen short. We recognize how difficult it is to stay on that narrow path. And our goal is to encourage you to stay on it. And when you slip and when you slide, We want to be encouraged ourselves to get back on it. We want to encourage you to get back on it. So if you're in the audience this morning and you have needs and we can meet them, we'd ask that you come forward as well. If you have needs, please come forward as we stand and sing.